Hatha Putra. I'm sorry. Hatha Putra. Tata. Twashta. Juhava. Indraya. Shatrave. Indra Shatro. Vavadaswa. Ma. Chiram. Jahi. Vidwisham. Hataputrasta tatvashta juhavendraya shatrave indra shatrovi vadvash dashtutva machigam jahi vidvisham hataputrasta tatvashta juhavendraya shatrave Indrashatro vivadashwa Machigam jahivid visham Hataputrastatastvashta Juhavendraya shatrave Indrashatro vivadashwa Machigam jahivid visham Hataputra, who lost his son, Tata, thereafter, Twashta, Twashta, Juhava, performed the sacrifice, Indraya, of Indra, Shatrave, for creating an enemy, Indra Shatro, O enemy of Indra, Vivadaswa, increase, ma, not, chigam, after a long time, jahi, kill, vivisham, your enemy. Translation: after Vishwarupa was killed, his father, Twashta, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill, injure. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire by saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay, responsibly. After Vishwaroop was killed, his father, Twashta, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. There was some defect in Twashta's chanting of the mantra, because he chanted it long instead of short, and therefore the meaning changed. Twashta intended to chant the word Indra Shatro, meaning, O enemy of Indra. In this mantra, the word Indra is in the possessive case, Shashti, and the word Indra Shatro is called Tatpurusha, compound, Tatpurusha Samasa. Unfortunately, instead of chanting the mantra short, Twashta chanted it long, and its meaning changed from the enemy of Indra to Indra, who is an enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, they emerged the body of Ritasu, of whom Indra was the enemy. After Vishwa killed his father, Twashta performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. Hataputra stata Twashta, Jvadvindraya Shatrave, Indra Shatro Vivada Swa, Machiram Jahivi Di Dwi Sasham. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jaina Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Jaina Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Datati Swabhadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakal Patarubhya Cha Kipa Sinyubhya Iva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatite Shtarine Vidai Namah makes a joke. He says that he explained how in Vedic times they used to perform these yagyas. So there was many Brahmins chanting mantras. Then there was a referee, and he would make sure that all the mantras were chanting properly. But in this age, he says, devotees can't even chant their own name. So it's not possible for us to do all these mantras. I know when I got initiated, it took me 2 weeks to understand my name. I couldn't even understand what... it took me. Even now I say my name because of my French accent, people can't even say my name. So what do you speak of mantras? It's not really possible. So actually this comes well, because I just want to go back to the Narayan Kavacha also. I don't know if you remember the first four to eight verses of the Narayan Kavacha. And these four verses tell you how to prepare yourself to chant the Kavacha. It's very difficult. First you have to bind, it says. It says that the first thing is that you should... that's in the following manner. He should bind himself with the Narayan coat of armor. So the beginning is not too difficult, you know. You should wash your hand, clean the legs, perform achman, chant, apavitra, pavitrava. Then you should touch kushagas, sit gravely, silently, facing the node. That's not too difficult. But then what you should do is you should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables to the 8 parts of your body. Touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to your hands. And while you chant the 8 syllables, you should touch your hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet, progressing systematically to the knees, and so on. Then you should chant the mantra in reverse. And then they follow that you should conclude with the index finger. You should actually touch, place the syllable of the mantra on the tip of your fingers, beginning with the index finger on the right hand and concluding with the index finger to the left. And the 4 remaining syllables should be placed on the joints of the thumbs. I'm not sure if you know how to do that. So, and then that's the second part what you're doing, is you should chant, in this way all direction will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra. So not only chanting the mantras, but to prepare for the mantra, you have to bind the mantra to yourself and bind the mantra to all the directions. So this is not for us. It's not, and even we see Twashta made a mistake. I guess there was no referee for him. I guess he was so angry, so passionate, that he chanted the mantra in a rush and he made that big mistake. So Prabhupada says that even on the royal roads, there's accidents. He says that in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that men are naturally attracted by many women. And even though it's accepted in the Vedic custom to have many wives, it is dangerous to follow the Vedic custom, because any time there can be an accident. Like for example, the example of Nriga Maharaj, right? He became a lizard. That's my French accent, Riga. So what did he do? He was offering all these cows in charity. And then one cow came back to his lot and he gave it to another Brahmin. So because of that, even though he was perfect, Yamaraj said, your life is perfect. Except one thing, the cow that came back and you give it back to the Brahmin. It wasn't his fault. But because he was following the Vedic mantras and he made a mistake, he had to become a lizard. Obviously he got saved by Krishna, he got touched. But still, it's the example Prabhupada gives that it's not, and there's so much danger in following the Vedic mantras. It's like you pray to Krishna, give me $100. So Krishna says, okay, I'll give you $100. But if you tell Krishna, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Krishna said, okay, I'll give you $1,000. In the sense that whatever you need, Krishna will give you. But if you pray to Krishna just for the minimum, just for you what you want, then Krishna also will provide you. You're chanting every day, you're going to Mangalati, doing little seva. Okay, I'll help you. But if the surrender is great, if the surrender, the amount of the surrender is huge, then Krishna will give you everything. Obviously, sometimes he may not give. That's the problem. And the demigods will always give. But, is it working? I turned it off. But the amount of the demigods, sometimes they will always give. But sometimes, did I touch something? It's working, no? You can hear me, no? Sorry. So, but ultimately if you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will give everything. So this is the point of the mantras, that in the Vedic culture, in the Vedic times, when that was the goal, then obviously you could do this. But because in this age we have no qualification, actually, the only qualification for us is the most fallen. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Doya Kormoy Troma Binaki Doya Lu. When he sings this song, he said that I'm the most fallen. You save the most fallen people, and I'm the most fallen. So you save me first. So that is the qualification in Kali Yuga, to be the most fallen. We have no qualification for chanting mantras. We have no qualifications for anything. Obviously in India there was little more qualifications, but in general we're lower than Shudras. We like Yavanas, we're coming from families, and even in India it's quite degraded now. So there's no qualification to do anything. But our qualification is the most fallen we are, we become qualified. So we're not qualified for all these mantras. Even Twashta made a mistake. So our qualification is just to surrender. So sometimes Prabhupada was not so much into all these kavachas. He was not so much into, even when we chant Hare Krishna, I know I love to chant after Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Prabhupada, and the name of the deities, but he was not into it. He was really wanted us to concentrate Shri Krishna and Hare Krishna. That was our focus. But because this process is simple for simple-minded, it's complicated for complicated-minded, we're thinking there must be more. And we do this in this way to avoid actually facing reality that we have to surrender. Because in one purport of the Gita, Prabhupada says that we can surrender in 1 second. All you have to do, accept that Krishna is God and I'm servant of Krishna. 1 second, you accept that, you're liberated. You're already in the spiritual world. But we have to do it. And that is difficult, to really face reality that we have to surrender. So the mind is so complicated, it's trying to find so many other ways not to surrender. I always repeat this example, but I like it a lot. In the Vaishnavaka book by Bhaktisiddhanta, Jayapataka Maharaj explained how the mind doesn't want to surrender. So after a while, when you join Krishna consciousness, the mind realizes, oh, I don't think that's what I wanted to do. So it has to get out, but it can't get out because it said yes already. So then it has to find a reason. Like, for example, I'm telling my friend I want to help you move today. But then I'm thinking, no, I don't want to move. But I can't say no, I said yes. So then I'm thinking, you know when you spoke to me last night? I don't like it, I'm not going to help you. So then the mind is thinking, look how he eats, he's so fat, he's been in the ISKCON for so long. Look, so many politics. So then the mind is finding so many reasons not to surrender. So in this way we get affected by not focusing on the mantra. We're thinking astrology, we're thinking kavachas, we think all these things can be used, that's no problem. But our main focus is to sit down and chant. And the chanting is not just sitting down and chanting 2 hours, but it's our behavior in the day. How I react with devotees, how I react with my service, how I deal with others, how I deal with situations. And then I'll be able to chant, because my quality of chanting is not based on me, it's based on Krishna's mercy. There's one example I gave before, but for me it was quite evident. When the children were born, and for many years, I had to do so many things, work, do service at home. So although I always followed everything, my chanting was not good quality. Really bad quality, but I was chanting. So then I was invited to Radhadesh for 2 weeks for preaching. And at that time I could chant my rounds 2 hours in the morning, and the quality of my rounds was so good for me, I could never believe it. Because I did my duty and still continuing spiritual life, Krishna was pleased and gave me mercy by the chanting. So it works in this way, that we have to please Krishna and Krishna gives us mercy. But our only business is to really just cultivate our relationship with Krishna. The devotee doesn't want to do anything that will separating or that will break his relationship with Krishna. That's his goal. He doesn't want to break his relationship. He wants to increase his relationship. And our business is basically us and the chanting. Everything else is, obviously we have to do our duties, we have to do our services, and this will give us power to chant properly. It will purify us. We don't have the qualification proper. There's an example of one devotee from from Kenya. And he told Prabhupada when he was, I think, Bombay or Delhi, when he went to Mayapur, he wanted a hut and chant there, just chant. So Prabhupada was always saying, no, 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 no. But finally he said, okay. So they did a hut, and 2 weeks later the devotee left. Because obviously we can't just chant, sit down and chant. But our business is really to come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. Not all the other things. And how do we do it? By doing our duty, serving the Guru, serving the Vaishnavas, and chanting a Hare Krishna. Like the gopis, they had no... They just loved him. They just wanted to be with him. They just wanted to do things for him. They didn't know Vedic mantras. Like when Krishna and Balaram send their friends to the Brahmins, tell them Krishna and Balaram is hungry. Tell them we want to eat. So they went, and the Brahmin said, we're so busy, you just chill and go away. We're doing so many Vedic mantras, and we're so busy, you go. Then they went back, they were despondent, and Krishna Balaram said, don't worry, go to the wives. And the wife said, sure, we'll cook for Krishna Balaram. So the Brahmins realized later how great their wives were, because the goal is Krishna. The goal is not the mantras, it's not the Vedic mantras, it's not the rituals. The goal is to achieve Krishna. So even though they were village girls, they had Krishna in the palm of their hands. Krishna would do for them whatever, because of their love, of their surrender. When Krishna has this headache, you know the story, no one wanted giving the dust of the feet. No, Krishna had a headache. Narada Muni said, what to do? And Krishna said, I want the dust of the feet of my devotee. Narada said, who's going to give the dust? Saraswati Maharaj in one of his books says that if you ever by mistake you're on the altar and you touch your feet and touch on the deity, you will go to hell. Because obviously how you can touch your feet and touch the deity, put your dust. So the gopis were thinking, yeah, we'll give the dust. And Narada Muni said, you don't mind? No, no, no. If Krishna is going to free from headache, I'll go to hell. What is Radharani's prayer in the Chaitanya Charitamrita at the end? That Krishna, your happiness is my happiness. And if I'm not happy and that makes you happy, oh, that's great, it makes me really happy. That is the surrender of the devotee, and that's what Krishna sees, and that's what Krishna pleases, and that's what Krishna gives in rewards. He rewards according to the surrender. So all these mantras that we do, all these external things that we do, which was for previous ages, can be done, no problem. But our main goal is to really sit down in the morning, chant our rounds, know how to serve the Vaishnavas, how to do our duties, how to go on with our life in a Krishna consciousness. In this way, then we can achieve success. And then amazing things will happen. Like Haridas Thakur, right? Haridas Thakur was in a cave. No one wanted to come and see him. Why? Because there was a snake. They were scared. I'm scared of snakes. Actually, there's a story, I don't know if you know, the Christians were the Romans. The Christians used to be thrown in holes with lions in them. So there are stories, historical encounters, where the lions wouldn't eat the Christians. Actually, the Christians would be patting the lions. In the same way that Pilate was thrown in the snake pit. But the snakes did not bite him. Why? Because Krishna is in the heart of the lion. Krishna is in the heart of the snake. Krishna is in your heart, in our heart. So if you're Krishna's devotee, why? Unless it's Krishna's desire, Rake Krishna Mare Ke Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Then if it's his desire, then thank you Krishna, I'll take it. Like Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, right? Chitraketu had million wives, couldn't have his son, had his son died. He traveled with his wife, he starts laughing at Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva has Parvati on his lap, and he's with the sages, and Shiva's not affected, but Parvati's offended, and says, you will become a demon, and he's laughing, said, thank you very much, mother, because he knew that was his last life. That's why he was telling Indra, kill me! Don't be despondent, do your duty, because he knew. He was a devotee. It's like Bharat Maharaj, he took the form of a deer, but he remembered all his past life. So Vrita Sura remembered all his past life. He had all his transcendental knowledge. So if it happens that we have to die, that's Krishna's arrangement. But in the example of the Krishna, in the example of Prahlad, Krishna's in the heart of the animal. He can tell, like in the Jarakanda forest, all the animals were dancing and chanting all together. Why? Because Krishna's in the heart. He controls everything. So that is the real surrender. Because Krishna controls, he'll protect us. And that's like Haridas. Haridas was leaving. He said, I'm going to leave. People can come. No, the snake left. The snake left. Because Krishna told the snake, you must leave. Because Krishna is in the heart. He didn't want the devotees to be uncomfortable. He wanted the devotees to come and see Haridas. So he told the snake, you please go. Because Krishna is in the heart of the snake. Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. Krishna is in the heart of the Kami. What happens when you preach on books and you want this person to take a book and this person doesn't want to take a book? Who will Krishna fulfill more? Do you know? He's going to fulfill you or the Kami? You don't know? Yeah, it depends on the desire. If your desire is stronger, that's why that Hamsadutta once said that, it's a letter that he sent to his disciples, and he was saying that you chant 16 rounds, you follow four principles, you do austerities, you control your senses, there is no way they can say no to you. Like there's an example of where Mukunda Maharaj had to, when they had 22nd Avenue, they had to put electricity, they had to pay a very big down payment. So Prabhupada told him to go and tell them that because we're a religious society, you should drop the down payment. So he went there, but he couldn't do it. And as he says, at that time I was quite accepting of situation. He said, okay, went to Prabhupada. He said, not possible. Prabhupada went himself, got the down payment and left. Because no one can do anything against the pure devotee, the advanced devotee, because of the spiritual power. So that is where the power comes. But Krishna gives, he's in the heart. And just in Prabhupada's pastimes or Lilamritas, so many wonderful things. So I'll just tell you two, three stories. There's one story, Shyamasundara Prabhu says that he was walking with Malti and Prabhupada, it was just the end of the month and they had no money. I think the rent was $200, 100 for the storefront, 100 for the apartment, if I remember. And they're walking on the street and somewhere another money started flowing from the sky. So, believe it or not believe it, I believe it. So, and there was no one in the street and then they got the money to pay. So, and as he explains, at that time when Prabhupada was there, so many things like this would happen. Like Toshan Krishna Prabhu, Prabhupada wanted to do, you know, on Fifth, he wanted to do Gathayatra in New York. But on that street, it was, you know, not allowed to do Gathayatras anymore. I mean, to do any kind of parade. But Prabhupada was very strict. He wanted the parade on that road. So then Toshan Krishna Prabhu started making little, you know, started doing preparation for requests, for proposals. And finally, it had to go to the main police station in New York. So he said, I'm going to go. So he saw the secretary, he went straight in the office of the man, and he says, I need you to sign this. And the man looked at it, the chief of police, the commissioner of police, and he started laughing. He said, I don't know why I'm signing this. Because that's Prabhupada's transcendental energy. That's Prabhupada, that's Krishna working. Like when they want, when Prabhupada wanted to print Bhagavad Gita, for one, Allen Ginsberg started trying to do his contacts, then it wasn't working. Then Ray Ram tried, then it didn't work. Then Prabhupada told Brahmananda, then you try. He said, okay. He was thinking, who's gonna print it? It's like pure Krishna consciousness. There's no, like, you know, really material attraction. Anyways, he tried for a while, it wasn't working. So then, you know, at that time there was the Apple record, the Hare Krishna record, and they were getting requests online to get the record. So someone from Macmillan wrote a letter saying, please send me one record. So Brahmananda Prabhu, who always opens the mail, go to see Prabhupada and say, look, it's from Macmillan. Macmillan letterhead, he works there. Macmillan is a big printing company. So Prabhupada said, okay, you go there, you bring the record and tell him that I have a Bhagavad Gita and I want to print it. Okay? So Brahmananda Prabhu asked, should I bring some of your books? No. Just go tell him I have a Bhagavad Gita that I want to print. Okay? Should I bring some of your credentials? No, he says, you go over there, you tell the man, I have a Bhagavad Gita that I want to print. Okay. So he dressed, put his tie, dressed, went to see the man, went in the office. The man was just a clerk. That means he was just like, he did some kind of work at Macmillan, but no position. So he gave him the record, got the money, and all that time he was thinking, how am I going to tell him, I have a Bhagavad Gita, I want to print it. Just before leaving, one man came in the office and the clerk presented him. He said, this is the, I think, the director of publication or something. Ah, he touched the man's hand. He says, I have a Bhagavad Gita and I want to print it. And the man said, you have a Bhagavad Gita? Very nice. I'm looking for a Bhagavad Gita to print. Is it all translated in English? Yes, it is. Everything, completely. I'll print the Bhagavad Gita. So then he was thinking, well, I didn't even show him the Bhagavad Gita and he wants to print the Bhagavad Gita. So he ran to Prabhupada, he said, this man will print the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was not even surprised, he just continued working. So these are the amazing things, and even in our lives we can see, little by little. Like, for example, there's one doctor that I'm cultivating, and he's cultivating an industrialist. So when I was speaking to him on the phone, this man asked me, when are you coming to Calcutta? I said, I'm coming next week because I have to fix my computer. He said, oh. Just send the computer. I have an IT of maybe 20 people, and I'll fix it. I said, okay. So Krishna always do some kind of miracle. I wasn't hoping this. I was thinking I'll just go and fix my computer. So I'm sure if you study your lives, you'll see there's so many little miracles that happens in this way. And now this industrialist, actually, he's chanting on clicker 4 rounds, and he's distributing clickers at the golf course. So, you know, they go for golf. This doctor is a colonel in the army. So they all meet, I don't know which day, on the golf course. And now he's distributing clickers. He has in his pocket some clickers and he makes them chant, you know, Hare Krishna. So, but if you study your life, you'll see so many miracles. So if we gather all these miracles together, then our faith will increase. We don't need anything else. We need to trust that Krishna is there as a supreme shelter. Prahlad Maharaj had only one shelter, which was Krishna. He didn't care. You throw me through the mountain, you hit me with the tridents, you try to kill me, I don't care. Krishna wants to kill me, he kills me. He doesn't want to kill me, I don't care. I'm not even going to try to protect myself. Like Shivas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivas, said, you must maintain your family. Because if you don't maintain your family, I'll have to maintain them. But Shivas was just serving, not maintaining his family. He wasn't doing a job, wasn't making money. How his family is going to eat? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, maintain your family, because if not, I'll have to maintain them. Finally, he had to maintain them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to maintain the family. This is the mood we have to try to come to. The mood of understanding that ultimately Krishna will protect. Like when you play this game, you drop yourself, someone holds you. It takes time. But like the child, you're carrying this baby, 4 months old. You can do anything with this baby. Throw him by the window, squish him. He has no protection. He has full surrender. He can never think. that you're going to do anything bad to him. And you don't, because you want to protect him. And the more we become like this baby, the more Krishna will do anything for us. Not that he likes us best, but because we surrender more to him, therefore he'll be more inclined to us in this way. So that's the mood that we have to develop, that we have to... Jayaprataka Maharaj gives that example. I gave it before, but I love that example. He gave it in Ottawa in 84. Actually, it's funny because in Ottawa, there's Gonitai deities. And he looked at them, he says, actually, it's Gogadada. So they still worship them as Gonitai. So he said that when you walk on a bridge, it's not strong. You put one foot. Then you're thinking, okay, it's pretty strong. Let me try another foot. Then you try another foot. Okay, pretty strong. Let me try another foot. And as you walk on the bridge, your faith increases. And then you feel, yes, I can walk on this bridge. In the story of Duvasa Muni, Narayan told him that I cannot protect you. Why? Because I'm in the heart of my devotee and my devotee is in my heart. How can I give up my devotee at any time? They surrender their families, they surrender everything to me. How can I give them up? So I cannot forgive you. You go to my devotee and you ask for forgiveness. So that is our work in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes after 30, 40 years we forget. Even after 10 years we forget. That what is my goal? But my goal basically, it's like we forget sometimes why we come to Mayapur. And we develop, because Mayapur is very special. It's a place to make spiritual advancement. Obviously it's a place for families, it's a place to cultivate, but it's the same place where we have the opportunity to make more spiritual advancement, being in the hub, the center of the spiritual kingdom, you know? So we can't forget why we came to Krishna consciousness. We came obviously to get free from suffering, because we suffer so much. The problem is when you have indigestion, you don't eat anymore. But then when your indigestion goes away, you get hungry again. So unless we get a higher taste, then material life comes back. I want to eat pizza again. Unless I get taste for burfis and other stuff. So unless I get taste for spiritual life, material taste comes back. And that's what happens a lot. And then the creepers, the example is given of a lake, and there's so many bamboos. Is it bamboos? Yeah, bamboos, I think. And the bamboos are growing because they're taking the water of the lake and it's drying up the lake. So the creepers of material desires are drying up our spiritual desires. So we always have to be careful. So we always have to remember why are we coming here. It's just us and Krishna and the devotees. This is our goal. And every day we do this thing. It's like a businessman, he's thinking, how much money I did yesterday, how much money I'm going to do tomorrow. So we're thinking, how much advancement I did yesterday, how much advancement I'm going to do tomorrow. So just to summarize, it's quoted too. This section is amazing. Because Vitasura is a pure devotee. He's Chitta Ketu, completely. Indra is not a pure devotee, but Krishna protects him because he's a devotee. And Vitrasura is too powerful. And Indra, in the course of his duty, is becoming despondent. He's losing, because when you do books, for example, you may not do books for 5-10 days, but the devotee should be able to say, okay, whatever. You just go and do what you have to do. It's like Prabhupada, for 1 year, nothing happened. He still went on. So we have to go on the course of our duty. So, but Indra was not doing it. He was thinking, how can I kill him? Vitrasura was so powerful, they cut the hands, they cut the feet, he would open his mouth and eat the soldiers. Imagine, he was touching the sky. He was incredible. You can never think of that kind of figure. So that's an amazing chapter of devotion, actually. Okay, so I use that topic today to show how the mantras or whatever else we may bring in our spiritual life in this age doesn't really work. We have to focus on our chanting, on our serving devotees, on Prabhupada's instruction. And very quickly, if we do it, then we can make advancement. If we're not advancing, it means we're keeping these material desires in the heart, which is also me. But so it takes a long time, but by association we can do it. Jai, thank you very much. Any question or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, it has been emphasized today to the maximum possible to avoid any offenses while doing chanting. That is the main. See, it's to the maximum possible to avoid offenses while chanting. Isn't it, Prabhuji? But suppose, you know, while chanting and going around the streets or somewhere else, suppose if a devotee comes. contingent just going in the streets. No? So then generally we have to submit for the Dandavat and
I'm not understanding fully.
You're saying that if you're chanting and you're not offering obeisances?
Not committing offense by not offering obeisance. I think he's saying that when you're chanting, if you offer obeisance to devotees, is that offensive? Is that what you're saying? That if you're chanting, you offer obeisance, it may be offensive. Yeah, it's not offensive. I mean, it's good. I mean, in the beginning of ISKCON, every time someone came in the temple room, you would offer obeisance to all the devotees, one after anyone. That was rule. Now no one offers obeisance. And it doesn't work. Okay, next time. His question was that is it offensive to offer obeisance to a devotee when you're chanting? I told him no. So in the beginning of ISKCON, this is when I joined, which is not beginning but close, we would offer obeisance to everyone in the temple. They would come in the morning, everyone would offer obeisances. So now no one offers obeisance. I think I have to chant, which is true to concentrate on the chanting. But at the same time, you get mercy of the chanting by, mercy of the devotees. So no, it's not offensive to offer obeisances. And I don't think it would be offensive not to offer, depending if it's a sannyasi or someone. If you don't offer, it wouldn't be offensive unless it's a high personality also. Okay, I think we have to stop. It's 1:45. Huh? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, I told that we should pay all attention on chanting Hare Krishna. We should not chant other Kavach mantra. But already that Guru Maharaj is chanting Narsingh Kavach every day. So
no, I didn't say you shouldn't.
Yeah. No, actually.
No, I don't say that you shouldn't chant. You can chant, but the ultimate thing is Maha Mantra. And you can't compare Guru Maharaj to us. No, you can chant. I used to chant the Nisinga Vacha also. When I was Guru Maharaj for 2 years, I was chanting the Nisinga Vacha also. But so that you'll get benefits. But ultimately, the Maha Mantra is for fallen people. And I consider myself quite fallen. So we're going to stop now. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.